Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for Happy Hour with Dr. T. We gather here two nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and chat for a few minutes, discuss a verse from the Word of God, and then pray together. Tuesday night is guest night on Happy Hour, where we invite a guest to join us, share in their wisdom. And with this particular guest, we'll have a few good laughs and a lot of rah-rah, and then they'll lead us in prayer. So tonight, my special guest really needs very little introduction. He's been on Happy Hour with me before. He's a really dear and special friend of mine, Coach Dave Daubenmeyer. Coach Dave is a veteran high school football coach. He was spurred to action when he was attacked and eventually sued by the ACLU in the late 1990s for mixing prayer with his coaching. After a two-year battle and his First Amendment rights and a determination of not to back down, the ACLU relented and offered the coach an out-of-court settlement. As a result of this experience, Coach heard the call to move out of the coaching in the high school team and went to a job of coaching God's team by creating an organization called Pass the Salt, which was formed to encourage the body of Christ to step into the cultural war, where we wrestle not with not against flesh and blood. Pass the Salt is convinced that God has given the body a window of opportunity to take our culture back, a window of opportunity. And boy, that window is closing. It's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So Pass the Salt is committed to bringing together the body of Christ across denominational, racial, and economic borders to demonstrate to America the power of biblical unity. Coach, thank you so much for joining us here tonight. It's just such a pleasure to have you back. You know, you're a good friend of mine, and I, you know, we only get to see each other like on little spurious encounters, usually at the Go Therefore conference in August is usually when I get to see you, is once a year, and that's not nearly enough. So thank you for joining me back here again tonight.
Well, thanks, Doc, and it's great to be able to call you a friend. I call you a friend often to people, not to drop your name, but I say, yeah, she's a friend of mine, and I really, really value your friendship, and a lot of as we'll get into it here a little bit, a lot of the things that you really taught me, showed me during this whole ex-COVID thing that we've all gone through. And, you know, Sherry, I was kind of chuckling as you were reading that intro that I put together forever ago. And I got sued by the ACLU in 1997. Do you have any idea how long ago that was? I mean, that is like 27 years ago. And it's funny because I said in that little intro that we put together that, you know, we have a very short window. And of course, you responded to that, the very short window to wake up the church to get involved. And yeah, the window's closing. And man, oh man. And it's just amazing to me that so many people who really call themselves believers, Christians, real ones, don't understand the times in which we live and know what it is we need to do. So I salute to you, salute you for all that you do. And man, you have plowed a row that you go back. I know this is your interview, but I got to say some of these things first, Doc. You know, how far ahead of the curve were you? I mean, right? You've been talking about vaccines and all that. In fact, I was just checking something out on you today at Wikipedia, and they're still calling you an anti-vaxxer, right?
Which I wear with a proud badge.
That's
right?
Well, soon that's going to be a medal that everybody's going to want to wear. Point being, you were right all along. And think about all that COVID stuff and all that you went through and all the names people called you and all the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune that was thrown your way. And here you are on the other side of it, still standing, and you were right all along. So it's an honor to be here with you. And I thank Michelle for setting it up and your great team you have up there, and just honored to be able to call you a friend.
Thank you so much. You know, it's so funny because when I testified at the Ohio State Legislature, for which my state medical board has smacked me, and we're still arm wrestling with them, by the way.
Wow.
Which we can talk about in a minute if you want to. But, you know, one of the people at the State House when I did that testifying said, you know, they call you one of the disinformation dozen, and you've been labeled an anti-vaxxer. What do you have to say about that? And I said the same thing at the State House. I said, I'm very proud of that, and I wear it like a badge of honor, because it's, you know, we've been right. I mean, when you're right, you're right. And we've been right all along. And now it seems to a certain degree, you know, there's more and more people that are getting it, not only about the COVID jabs, they're not vaccines, about the COVID bioweapons, but now people seem to be waking up to looking at and analyzing all the rest of the vaccines on the schedule. Like, what's in it? Do I really need it? I mean, do I really need to get this shot in order to keep me from getting the flu, or from keep me from getting a measles, which is fever, cough, rash, and some runny eyes, and it goes away in 7 to 10 days with a lifetime of immunity? Do I really need to be injected with poison to try to stop that? And so I think that, you know, I feel a little bit like it's come full circle, and I'm getting some personal justification for doing what the Lord told me to do. Actually, coach, you know, it was back in 2002. I started this in 2000, but in 2002, I heard one night I was crying, literally sitting in my upstairs office crying, saying, God, why did you give me this to do? You know, why didn't you give me Tony Robbins Go Team Rah Rah? You know, this, it's ugly and nobody wants to know about this. And it's just, you're fighting against the pharmaceutical industry. And I heard him say, it was one of the few times in my life that I heard the Lord's voice say right out loud, it's because you're willing to do the work. And so almost 25 years later, I'm still doing the work. And we just keep at it and at it and at it. It's like, you know, death by a thousand cuts, you know, that little thing that what they say. And maybe now we're getting closer than ever before to people saying, finally waking up to the pharmaceutical companies and saying, not only no, but heck no. No, we're not doing any of this stuff.
You know, I was just reading, Steve Kirsch just posted a Substack earlier this week. I don't know if you saw it, Sherry. And by the way, your Substacks are really getting deeper. The growth I've seen in you spiritually is, I've mentioned it to several people. You know,
Aw,
that's what trauma
thank
does
you.
to you, isn't it really? Isn't that what persecution, all that stuff does? It really drives you into what you're really all about. And I've just seen a real deepening in you. But what I was trying to say about Steve Kirsch, he did a Substack, and I shared it on, you know, I do a podcast in the morning as well, and I shared it on my Substack. He says it's 17 million. 17 million have not been injured by vaccines, Sherry, but have been killed through vaccines. 17 million. And here's one of the things that I'm catching on to a little bit. I remember about 3 years ago, you said to me, hey, it's down the road, coach. They're not going to be dying tomorrow. They're not going to be dying next week. They're going to be dying down the road. And that time, Sherry, has that time space has bought the other side, if I dare call them that. It's bought them a little bit of time, because now, if it's been 2 years since somebody's had a shot, or 18 months since they had a shot, well, they can say, well, it wasn't COVID. COVID didn't kill them. It was something else. They got cancer, or they had a heart attack. And so it's given the other side a lot of cover, because there's so much distance between when they took the shot and when they died. But Sherry, you told me 3 years ago this is what's going to happen. And Steve Kirsch says at least 17 million. That's 3 times what they told us happened in the Holocaust. And those who perpetrated it are just skating like nothing. It's hard to believe.
I had read somewhere, I think it was in the expose, but I tried to find it, and they deleted it, or I just can't find it. But I read somewhere that they estimate globally, it's really closer to about a billion people that have died. And so, you know, at the beginning of all this stuff, when people ask me what is their end game, I said it's a depopulation agenda and it's total control. It's leading up to the Antichrist and the mark of the beast that you can't buy, sell, or trade without having their, you know, subcutaneous little marks and their little gizmos planted in your hands. And we're seeing that more and more and more. And they said, and I said, you know, I said they want half the people on the planet gone. And way back when, you know, 4 years ago now, when I first started saying that, people said I was crazy. And I said, well, now it looks like they're going to get it. And it's going to have come in phases. The first phase is going to be people who get the shots and die within the first 48 hours, and that's well documented. Then I said it was going to be 3 to 5 years before we get the next phase, which is where we are right now, because the shots were really basically released the beginning of 21. So that's 21, 22, 23, and here we are in 24. So we're right at 3 years later that we're seeing this hockey stick number of deaths that are happening. And then people say, well, I got the shot and I'm just fine. I said, you're going to keep having to look over your shoulder for 10 years before you can say that. Because between now and 10 years out, so that would be 31, if the world is still existing by that length of time, is when the massive amounts of autoimmune disease is going to start. Autoimmune disease of the brain, of the heart, of the kidneys, of the lungs. It's going to make lupus look like a walk in the park. And so we're there. And I feel like as bad as it is, and as horrible as that sounds, Coach, I feel like it's kind of by God's grace that he's, you know, maybe he's allowed a plague that has come across our land and has made a lot of people sick, but it's also making people maybe look up. You know, my mom used to always say to me, sometimes God puts you flat on your back to get you look up. And, so, and when you've always believed 100% over here, you believed in the government, you trusted them, you trusted the pharmaceutical industry, you trusted your doctor, you did all that stuff. When you start to back away from that and go, you know, by nature, we abhor a vacuum. Humans abhor a vacuum. So it's up to people like you and your podcast and the things that you do and me and other people like us that we need to fill the truth in there. And part of that truth has to be God's word. We have to let people know that God's real. We have to get rid of this, you know, atheist sort of stuff that's around right now that our churches falter so badly and so horribly about. And, you know, as they start to pull away from these big bodies that they've trusted and relied on all these years, it has to be filled with something. And I think it needs to be filled with the Lord.
The word says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And, you know, it's we're both from Ohio. I live down around the Columbus area and folks watching Sherry's up around Cleveland. And the first time I met you, Sherry, was at just a chance event out in Houston. We were all called there. I don't even know why I was one of the people called there, but I was. And nothing ever came of it.
It was another one of those meetings, and I've been to dozens of them. Yeah. That, you know, everybody's going to get all rah rah and something's going to get fired up and we're going to change things, and nothing
happens. So that's
except that we made great connections.
We formed a relationship there that's paid huge dividends. There's no doubt about it. But again, the scripture says that people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So here I am, just an old helmet head. You know, I'm just a football guy. And I remember having a conversation with you, and this was early on. I said, Sherry, what's going on? What's with these doctors? I mean, if I can see it, why can't they see it? I'll never forget what you told me. You said, Coach, they're ignorant. And you know, folks, the root word of ignorant is ignore. And it's different than being stupid or being dumb. You know, that's another thing. Being stupid, you're in a stupor, or dumb, you're not intelligent. But ignorant means you ignore things. And you said, look, the chart comes down from on high. This is what you have to do for this, and this is what you have to do for this. And these guys aren't even inquisitive. They look at the chart, they follow the chart, and they're just ignorant. And I thought, man, oh, man, is that ever a good description of what it is that we're dealing with? Because, Sherry, it doesn't just impact the doctors, although there's really no excuse for them to be able to do that. Ronald Reagan told us, trust but verify, right? But the other people who blindly fell in line. Yeah, how could Christians who understand that they were in a spiritual war, seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, how could Christians so blindly trust what we know to be a pretty evil government, right? And so when you think about the fact that you said the doctors were ignorant, Christians are ignorant, our pastors are ignorant. We've ignored what is the obvious, because why? Didn't want to make waves, or in your situation, take your license away from you. And so we have to realize that where we find ourselves today is standing up now because we didn't stand up before is going to cost us a lot more than what it cost us 3 years ago if we had just stuck our head up and said something. So a lot of what we see going on is, I believe, the judgment of God. He's permitted all this to happen to us, right? All of it. And I don't know how some of those guys those pastors who closed their churches down, I don't know how they can even get back in the pulpit. Evidently, they have no shame.
Which kind of brings up the concept of hirelings, you know, that the Bible talks about, that they are just in there for a job.
Yep.
And how many pastors are like that now? And it, you know, it's, you know, where does it say in the Bible where it talks about, you know, don't desire to be a teacher, because you will be judged more harshly. Mm-hmm. And so those people that went through seminary, got a church, they're standing up in front of a congregation week after week. They're supposed to be feeding their flock. They're supposed to be teaching them about the word and guiding them into discipleship. Because Jesus didn't say at the end of Matthew, he didn't say, go forth and make a bunch of Christians. He said, go forth and be a and make people be one of my disciples,
right.
which means following me and being more and more like me every day. And they didn't, you know, it's dry and kind of, you know, feel good passages. And everybody just talks about the love of God and how wonderful he is and forgiving he is. But they never talk about the wrath of God. Yeah. And what the what happens when you don't follow his word and don't do, you know, obey his laws and do things like that. And so those the pastors that got up during that time frame and said, and were scared and, you know, shaking in their boots, even though the Bible says almost 300 times, fear not, you know, and they wanted to, they followed the public health department and they said, you need to, you know, we're going to close the church on Sundays, but on Tuesday we'll be open for a shot clinic because I know it's the right thing to do because my wife's a nurse. I know, right. You know, right. She knows, she gets it. I mean, how is God going to look on that, Coach? What do you think? I mean, I know that we can't pretend to be God and we can't be in the mind of God, but some of those churches are still closed.
Well, you know, I draw from a lot of different. I'm 71 years old. I may act like a helmet head, but I'm smarter than what you give me credit for. Not you, Sherry, but I'm a pretty educated guy. And I'll never.
You are.
A couple guys said some things to me that I'll never forget. One of them was Flip Benham, who was a great mentor to me when I first got started in ministry 20 some years ago. I'll never forget what he said, Sherry. He said, everybody wants to follow Jesus till they find out where he's gone.
Oh, wow. That's very good.
He's going to a cross, isn't he? And he's going to a cross because why? He's going to go speak the truth to power. We don't want to do that, man. We just don't want to do that. And I also, another football coach, John Cooper, who used to be the football coach at Ohio State University, when I was a young coach, would go to football clinics, and I'll never forget that statement he made that never, sometimes the Lord says something and boom, it zaps you, you never forget, right? And he was talking about the aggressiveness of a football player. And he said, if they don't bite as puppies, they'll never bite as dogs. Talking about the nature, you either have the nature to be aggressive or you don't have it, right? And Sherry, I see that in today's pastorate. The men standing in the pulpit now, for the most part, they didn't bite as puppies.
Mm.
They didn't have that nature. They had a more of a loving, go along to get along, Jesus loves everybody kind of attitude. And so then all of a sudden they were thrust into the midst of this battle that was going to require them to stand up and speak up and take some heat. And Sherry, they didn't bite as puppies. They didn't bite as dogs. And so what I think is going on and what we're seeing, I don't know if people are noticing this or not, the churches are emptying for good reason, I might say, right? But God's not done with it. God's raising up a new pastorate who are tempered by, as JFK said in 1961, his inaugural address, 1961, yeah, tempered by war. We're seeing Christian men in particular and some Christian warriors like you who've been tempered by this war that we've been in. We see it. We understand it. We've been touched by it. We've had friends die. We have people who've been incarcerated. We see it all. And it's tempered us, and it's made us more strong than any generation of pastors in our lifetime. And that's the pastorate that God's raising up. They're in home churches right now. They're in little hideaways where we don't know. But let me tell you this. They're coming. They're coming. We are under right now the worst Christian leadership in the history of America right now today, but God's going to do something as Sherry. There's some puppies coming that bite, if you know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about.
That's good. I hope, I pray you're right. You know, we have a mutual friend, Jamie Waldron. I mean, I love Jamie and I love
his
message.
Doesn't he? He bites.
He bites. He not only bites, he like bites down and then shakes real hard. After he clamps onto your leg, he's just shaking really hard. And I listen to a lot of his sermons on YouTube that I listen to him after he gets them posted up there. And, you know, one of the things that he, you know, and I'm referring back to when you said that people want to be followers of Christ until they know that he's going where he's going to go. And I just remember Jamie saying one morning on one of his messages where he said, you know, Jesus never looked back. He knew where he was going. And he would say, come follow me. He didn't turn around and go, come on, please follow me. Come on, let's go over here. He just said, I'm going. And this is where I'm going. you know, sell all your stuff, come follow me, you know, follow me. He didn't beg anybody to follow him. He didn't coerce anybody to follow him. He said, just come, follow me. And I think that's a message for today of taking that internally, just follow him, stay close behind him. Don't look from side to side. Don't stay back. Keep your eyes focused right on him and the word and where he's going, because he's not going to go hide in some foxhole somewhere. And that time is coming. I mean, the persecution of Christians is getting more and more real. I mean, the stuff that they're talking about in our country, you know, Christians have been sorely persecuted and killed all over the world for a long time. It really hasn't been that way here because our founding fathers founded us on Christian principles. But because of this Marxist DEI stuff that's all come in, it's now we're not being thought of very highly. What do you think about that, Coach?
Well, I tell everybody the same story everywhere I go. It's only two teams: seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, and that's been the two teams fighting. That's been the ultimate civil war for as long as any of us have been alive. And I go back and I a couple things I like to use as illustrations. I have several friends who are in jail right now because of what they did on January 6th. And what they did on January 6th is they showed up and they executed their First Amendment God-given right to petition their government for a redress of grievances. And the government infiltrated that. They made it appear violent when it wasn't violent. And those guys are right now locked up in gulags all across America who really did nothing. And the silence of the pulpits and the silence of the Republicans on helping these innocent men get out of jail is staggering to me, Sherry. And so that goes back to what I was saying. They didn't bark as puppies, they're not barking as dogs. They were not trained in this time, in this era in which we live. And so as a result of that, we are in the midst of a great upheaval, because I call them the NASCAR crowd or the Bud Light crowd. They get it. Have you noticed that, Sherry? The Bud Light crowd, the NASCAR crowd. They get it. They're the ones who showed up on January 6th. It wasn't the pastors and the church leaders for so much. It was, I tell everybody, those guys who had God tattooed on their arm, but they wouldn't know him if he walked into the door, right? But they don't want, they certainly don't want their daughter to be homecoming king, and they don't want their son to be homecoming queen. And so this underground rumbling that is going on right now, they're looking for an outlet. They're looking for a venue. They're looking for an instrument they can use. And sadly, they don't see the church as that instrument. And that's what we're supposed to do. Do you remember in the book of Acts? They got mad because the disciples were out doing some street preaching and they would arrest them one time. And next thing you know, they'd be back there again and they'd whip them again. And they said, are these the men that turned the world upside down? Well, Sherry, we're there again. And we're looking for some men and some women who will turn the world upside down. See, I'm a little bit different in my theology because I run into so many people who are, and I'm not here to believe whatever you want to believe, who people think it's only going to get worse and then Jesus is going to rapture us all and then we'll all be out here. See, I don't think that way. I use this illustration that God is always, we think linearly, right? 1960, 1970, 1980, 1990. God doesn't operate like that, never has. He works secular, right? Winter, spring, summer, fall, series of eights, series of tens, decades, whatever. And so we're in a up cycle, I believe. And what's been going on since you and I have been alive is we've been in the midst of the going down of the sun and a downward spiral. Think about the Beatles and Turn On and Tune In, Turn On, Drop Out, and all that stuff we went through, Make Love and Not War, and the Vietnam War, and just and the sun's been going down on America, just been going down. It's a cycle. And Sherry, we're about as low as you can get. And so everywhere that I look, I see the sun coming up. Now, it's not real bright yet, but we have people who are awakening who had never realized exactly what was going on. You know, when they talk about people's preaching about the Great Awakening, what if we're in the midst of the second Great Awakening? By the way, that kind of happens gradually, doesn't it, Sherry? It just isn't all of a sudden somebody shoot off a gun and everybody wakes up. And there's a gradual awakening that's going on right now. And it takes people like me and people like you and people like a lot of other people out there who are nothing more than sandpaper in people's shoes, that after a while they get a look at their shoes and say, daggone it, she was right, wasn't she? And so there's a very, very slow awakening going on, because why? I believe the sun's starting to come up. It's kind of slow at the beginning, but I think we're going to see some of the most unbelievable revelations, exposés of some people that we trusted, that's going to make us, we won't even believe what's going to be exposed.
Wow. Well, hold your hats here, everybody. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of, just like 2 minutes. And we want to continue on with Coach Dade Dobemauer, because I'll tell you what, that's an inspiring message, and we need more of that. Sit right tight. We'll be right back. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. Welcome back. This has been a great show tonight. I knew it would be. Dave Dobemauer is a wonderful friend of mine. He's a great Christian. He's once a coach, always a coach. So he's inspiring and coaching us. So go back to where we
were. Sure, I got to stop you on that. See, that's one of the people have a tendency to want to call me Pastor Dave. I hear that all the time. I said, dude, don't ever call me that name. Why? Because I said, you ever heard of Bobby Knight? Yeah, I've heard of Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight throws chairs. Yeah, Bobby Knight. Well, you put up with it from a coach, don't you? Your pastor starts yelling at you. Your pastor starts throwing chairs. You ain't going to like it. You're going to leave the church. So I ain't a pastor. I'm a coach. And they expect to have chairs thrown and to be yelled at, Sherry. So I keep it for a purpose, you know?
Well, yes. And you do it well. And I've heard you speak quite a few times. And every time you are coaching and acting like everybody's sitting in the audience in front of you is going to get on that field and put on a helmet and run down the field and smack right into somebody, which is just awesome, because that's the kind of inspiration we need right now, Coach Dave.
Jamie Walton would tell us what we're supposed to do, right? Jamie's wonderful in that he talks about, I mean, first time I heard him tell this story, God blew me away that Matthew is a 28 is a military charge, right? Go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. That in that aspect of it, it is a military commission. They call it the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. What's the Great Commission? Go. What's the Great Commandment? Teach them to observe. We've lost that spirit in the church. We've lost it. And sadly, I love what I do, Sherry, because I'm coaching all the time. Sometimes I'm coaching women. Sometimes I'm coaching men. And we all need a coach. But unfortunately, our pastors are supposed to be coaches. But, Sherry, they've become life coaches, life enhancement coaches, right? Rub you on the back, make you feel good coaches. Not those kind of guys that are going to get down into the dirt and a grind with you and say, come on, man, we got to go. This is go time for the American church right now. Go time. Sherry, you understand this better than anybody. What might be happening in America a year from now, 2 years from now, with this, the results of these vaccines and a federal government that still won't admit what they did to us. Fauci's still going around like he's still some kind of whatever. And then I hear people all the day, just today, somebody said, well, I bet she's got COVID. I'm thinking, I want to freaking scream how they've been able to brainwash us with all of this stuff that really is nothing more than just code words for something else. So we know this, that the New World Order, they want to reduce the population. As I said at the beginning, 17 million gone. You said maybe as much as a billion? What? Yeah. Oh yeah. Abortion? We couldn't wait for the Supreme Court to the church couldn't wait to for the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade. Said, oh, they would never do it. And they overturned Roe versus Wade. And Sherry, what happens? We pass a law here in Ohio that they can still murder them, right? All of this is happening with the permission of the local church. That's who I point my guns at. I don't point it at the lefties. They're just doing what their father, the devil's taught them to do. They're more obedient to their daddy than we are to our daddy. And I'm going to tell you this, we are least like Jesus when we're afraid. Revelation 21:8, I think it is, says the fearful and unbelieving. They're the first ones out, baby. Fearful, unbelieving. Then the perverts, they follow all that. But the first ones, when you call yourself a Christian man, a Christian woman, and you're full of fear, you're not a child of God.
Amen to that. You know, more people need to be saying that, Coach Dave. I mean, more
Yeah.
people need to be saying that. I tried to say it pretty loudly, you know, during all the COVID stuff, you know, that if you are walking, how can you claim? And I got called on the carpet by quite a few people about this. How can you walk in fear and be afraid of getting sick, being afraid of going in the hospital, being afraid, oh my gosh, I might get on a ventilator, be afraid, 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 afraid. If Jesus is the great healer, can protect you, can put protection of the blood of his healing grace over your house, over your family, over everybody, and walk forward, that serpents can bite you, and that you can
Right.
come in contact with lepers and nothing
Drink
will happen to you.
poison. You can
You can
drink
drink
poison.
poison and nothing will happen to you. But yet, oh, I better get my shot because I have to do the socially right thing. I have to do something that's the social credit score of
Yep.
I did my part. And I had a couple of people who tell me that, you know, when I was pretty strong about people who took the jab, who claimed to be Christians, you need to get on your knees and repent for that.
Amen. Amen.
Because you need to ask the Lord to forgive you for bowing to the pharmakia and expecting that to keep you from getting sick instead of taking care of yourself and asking and keep making sure the Lord was going to keep you sick and you keep your nose in the word and you do just basic things because to stay well. And instead, you bowed to the pharmakia and you took those three shots. And I had several pretty prominent Christian people say that I was wrong and that people should, it was not a sin to take that jab.
Wow.
They, and I said, well, that's not what the Lord's telling me in my spirit. And it's okay that you, if you did that and you sinned by doing it, by corrupting your DNA. And now we know that the DNA can go in and break it up and cause turbo cancer and all these other things. Then you know, 1 John 1:9, when it says that the Lord is willing and to forgive you, all you have to do is ask for forgiveness, and he is in his righteousness and justice willing to forgive you every single time. And then when you go for a long time, I stopped there. And then if you go on to verse 10, where it says that if you think you have not sinned, my word is not in you. And so when I would get into these arguments with people, they're like, my husband or my wife didn't sin. They are good Christian people.
Yep.
They took the jab because they thought it was the right thing to do. And we wanted to see our grandchildren.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Well, don't confess that to me. I mean, confess it and
Either.
go have it out and duke it out with God and duke it out with his word about the spirit of fear and about forgiveness. And so I kind of stopped saying it. Thank you for bringing it back up because, man, I got kind of taken to task over like, how dare I say that that was a sin? Well, I still feel in my spirit that the Lord's put it there that it was. What are your thoughts about that,
Well,
Coach?
first of all, it's the same scientists. We're believing the same scientists that tell us an unborn child's not a human being, right? Or it's the same medical system that's telling us that, right? But I called up on my computer today, Isaiah 56:10, because I think it's so important for those of you out there who have availability. It says this: His watchmen are blind. Now let's just stop right there a second, Sherry. Let's take this out of the realm of the church. As we look at society, who are our watchmen? Well, it would be our elected officials, or our doctors, our school teachers. You th could throw a few more in there, right? But most importantly, the pastors, they're our watchmen. And what's it say? His watchmen are blind. Now, listen to this, Sherry. They are all ignorant. You told me that. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Sherry, that is, in a nutshell, that is America's leadership. Dumb dogs, meaning two things. Number one, they're dumb, they're stupid. But we know what a dumb dog is, right? A dumb dog is one that can't bark. And so we have our leaders. You mean to tell me, Sherry, that some of our elected officials in Washington, D.C. don't know that Fauci ought to be hanging from a tree somewhere? They don't know that? They certainly know. If I know it, they know it, right? And if they don't know, why don't they know it? They ought to be calling you to find out what you have to think about it. But they don't, because why? They're all dumb dogs afraid to bark. See, leadership, great thing about leadership is leadership, a true leader is willing to risk being wrong.
Sherry, and it's okay to say you're wrong.
When it's fourth and one, do I punt or grunt? What do I do here? See, my entire career is based on those tough decisions, not the easy one. Anybody can make the easy decisions, but when it's fourth and one, do I go for it or do I punt? Sherry, that has made more careers than anything else. A guy having the courage to go for it no matter what. And what did we have? We had a bunch of punters, didn't we? We had a bunch of punters. And as a result of it, that fear, lies, deception, and fear spread throughout the whole team. And as I said earlier, God, well, I didn't say it earlier, but we're least like God when we're afraid, for he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So our church leaders throughout this whole thing, they've been dumb dogs, afraid to bark, hungry after money, after approval. Hey, look, you could say, well, coach, they did it with the right intentions. They didn't want to see people die. Well, I get that. I didn't want to see them die either. How many deaths did they prevent? I would say that their cowardice increased the number of deaths, wouldn't you? Oh, there's so many aspects to this, man, just so many. But our watchmen have let us down because they're afraid to bark.
You know, the church I was going to right at the beginning of COVID, they had a section in the back of the church where people could sit away from the congregation if they wanted to maintain this fallacy and nonsense of the social distancing. And then even as we were kind of coming out of the COVID stuff, people would still come to church. And I still see it. I was just traveling last week. I was in Austin, Texas last week. People were still wearing the masks.
Yeah.
That we know unequivocally, almost 200 published studies that say that masks don't protect, they don't work. The only thing that they do is make the person who's wearing them sick. And if you go back and look historically, what did they do with masks? They put them on, they were muzzles they put on slaves so they couldn't speak. And they also put it on your face so they can't see your face. They hide you.
Mm.
And yet our pastor, it's one of the reasons I don't go to that church anymore, is, you know, would have all of these people that they would come into church wearing a mask. And I don't know, my thought was at that point in time is that, and I feel the same way now, but I don't speak up because I don't really want to get into an argument in the middle of an airplane. But, you know, in a church situation, what I would do if I were a pastor in that church is I would contact those people privately, one-on-one. I wouldn't make a spectacle of it. I would call them on the phone. I'd maybe invite them to the church, have a cup of coffee or something like that with them, and ask them, what are they afraid of? And if they're afraid of getting sick, talk to them about Jesus and healing. If they're afraid of dying, that's a whole nother conversation to have with them. And to say, you know, we love you. We want you to be part of our congregation. We broadcast on Facebook and on YouTube every Sunday. And if you really feel like you need to wear a symbol of being a slave and a symbol of fear into this congregation, please don't come. Watch us online, and when you get over that and you talk to the Lord about it and settle your spirit of fear, and you can come back here full-faced, singing and happy and participating with the congregation, we'll welcome you back with open, loving arms. And not doing it from a place of condemnation, but using it as an opportunity to sit down with that person about fear of death, about, the whole symbolism of what mask really means, and offer them an opportunity to pray and be stronger and come back into the church, but keep them to be part of the church community, but from home if you feel like you need to wear a mask. And I don't know of any single pastor that did that. I must have said that 20 dozen times during COVID on my various podcasts and different speaking events and places that I was. And I'd say, go and talk to your pastor about this and ask him what his position is. I don't know anybody. And there may have been people that I just don't know, the quiet little churches out various places. I did have a couple of people that came back to me as they tried to talk to their pastor about it. And their response was, it's their choice. I'm not going to interfere with their choice. Well, you're allowing the spirit of fear to walk into the congregation of your sheep. It's like allowing the wolf to come in and sit in the middle of your congregation and saying, that's their choice. I'm not going to mess with them. So that's a point of contention. And I see it on airplanes all the time still these days. And I've seen parents get on airplanes with their little kids, like 6 and 7 year olds, and they still make them wear a mask. It's just,
Can I tell you a good thing that came out of it though, Sherry? I always look for the sun's always coming up in my life. I mean, it doesn't make sense to see it any other way. One of the great things that happened is there were a lot of these phony pastors and phony churches that were exposed. And, one of the amazing statistics, I don't have the exact ones, that how many people stayed home and began to watch church online. And you know what, Sherry? They never went back to their original church. So it was a form of judgment in a way, right? People would sit home on Sundays and say, well, let's watch this guy this week, and let's watch this guy. And they got a whole different perspective other than sitting under the same guy for 20 years, hearing the same sermon from the same perspective. So that was a form of judgment that some of those churches are beginning to empty. And then there's another part of it that is really always at the end of the day. The love of money is the root of all evil. Follow the money. Sherry, I can't get by the fact that our federal government is trillions of dollars in debt, and that they would be a lot better off if they could just kill off some of those old people who are collecting all that Social Security and all that money. And they did a good job of killing a bunch of those people off and saved the American government a lot of money. Now, here's the truth. We don't want to believe that our government would be that evil. Well, I say it's time to wake up. They clearly are.
Yeah. Well, like I said at the beginning, Coach, it's like as people start to, and I don't like the phrase wake up, because to me, it's like if you're not awake now, I don't know what it's going to take, a nuclear bomb or something, you know, but as they start to pull away from what they've believed in all these years, trusted their doctor, trusted the government, trusted their pastor, their teachers, they're all those people that you named, we have to fill them with something.
Yeah.
Because if not, there, you know, it's human nature to abhor a vacuum. You know, we want things to be to the best of our ability, black and white. We either want to be in or out. That we don't want to be standing in the doorway, you know. And so it's our job to lead them to a particular place. And I think you do that with your organization, with Pass the Salt. We got only got a few minutes left here, unfortunately, because, you know, Coach, I could talk to you for like a month. But talk a little bit about what you're doing with Pass the Salt and tell people how they can participate with you on that.
Well, thanks, Sherry. You can find us at CoachDaveLive.com. And really, since I went through that whole thing with the ACLU, my desire has been to try to wake up Christians to be Christians. Will you do that? In fact, I ask people often, how would you recognize a Christian? What do Christians do? And it's amazing when people begin to think about that, they really don't have an answer, right? So what we try to do at Coach Dave Live is we've got guys, gals all across America who we get them actively involved in getting involved locally, going to their school board meetings, going to their city council meetings, going to the library board. We've got into this thing called staking, where we actually saw Joshua 1 says, every place you put your foot, we've given unto you as an inheritance. Only be strong and very courageous. Be not afraid. And so we've got people now who are going literally, and we are staking, walking, prayer walking our local city councils and our county commissioners' offices and our churches and our every place that you can think of, courts, we actually prayer walk them and stake them and drive into the ground scriptures, reclaiming those areas that the enemy has gathered from us. And Sherry, even though this is a top-down organization and that it's Coach Dave Live, it isn't. It really, really isn't. It's just a way where people plug in, I coach them up, and they go and do. right? It's like my old buddy said, Eric Peterson, when I was in high school, he said, you got to be like a vitamin. You got to be one. And so that's what I say to Christians. What is it Christians do? And you know, the average person can't give you a very good answer on that. So we're doing a lot of stuff. We're engaging a lot of people. We got good Christian men and Christian women all across America that are being salt and light and making a difference in their local communities. Get your eyes off of Washington, D.C. There isn't anything you can do there, but we can, in fact, still make a difference locally.
So that's CoachDaveLive.com. And is there a Pass the Salt donate button on there?
Yeah, it's all right there, Coach Dave Life. Everybody loves Pass the Salt, and I love it too, but they remember Coach Dave easier than Pass the Salt. What is that, Esther? Pass what? Right, you know how it goes, right? They remember, I say, listen, I'm Coach Dave, and I'm live, all right? I'm Coach Dave, and I'm live. And they never forget I'm alive, and I think they can remember I'm Coach Dave. So it's all the same. Pass the Salt, Coach Dave Live. It's all the same thing. And we're just trying to get people to do what Jesus told us to do, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. This shouldn't be so hard. That goes back to where Jamie Walden is. It's a military command. You're a soldier in the army. Get involved. Let's go. Let's play some offense. And that's why we're trying to get people, help people learn how to do.
And you have a show every morning now, don't you? It says 7 a.m. every morning?
7 a.m. every morning. Been doing it for 2000. Today was our 2095th.
Wow.
Consecutive. Isn't that something? That's a bunch of them, Sherry. That's over,
that's
over 7 years. Over
and
7 years.
And sometimes he's even dragged me out at 7 o'clock in the morning to be on his show.
We'll have you anytime, but sometimes, yeah, some of you guys don't like to get up so early in the morning, you know? But it is what it is. By the way, they're all archived, so you don't have to get up at 7 and watch. But if you get up at 7, it's interactive. You can call in and ask questions and tell us what you think. If you just want to get fed, then just go. It's free at our website. Just go and watch the show. We did one today, man. I'm telling you, boy, was it a home run. So if you want, folks, you want to do something, go check out, well, we're filming this on Tuesday. Check out Tuesday's Coach Dave Live video. It is awe-inspiring.
And so in case you're watching this much later in our archives, we're talking about February the 27th is in the archives, just so we get the date right for you.
Yep.
So you don't, sending right. emails or whatever to me or to my staff or to Coach going, what date were you talking about?
Yeah, when is
about?
That? Yeah, that's
we were
right.
talking about February 27th, 2024, because they may watch this a year from now.
Yep.
And so so they can go in and watch that. So just as a cliff note in this last minute or two here, what did you talk about that you said that was hit it over the moon?
Well, let me get what the guy, bear with me just a sec, tell you what the guy said said about what the title they put on top of. Because I'm always talking about the same thing, Sherry. I'm always talking about people to be one, right? You got to be a vitamin. So what we talked, got to be a Christian. What we talked about today was that I went into the local school last week, and I brought some of the reaction. I spoke in the public school, believe it or not, they let me do that. It's called Radical Political Science. And I went in there and I began to break down truth for the kids. And Sherry, it was so powerful that those kids don't know how to discover truth. But you know what else I found out? The people watching our show don't know how to discover truth. And how did Jesus do it? He didn't tell people stuff. He asked questions. He said, have you not heard? Have you not understood? Because the greatest truth that you ever come to is the truth you come to on your own through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Not something somebody else said to you, but that old moment when somebody says, ah, now I get it. So that's what we talked about on the show this morning, is how you can lead somebody to Christ, what it means to lead them to Christ, and how to expose lies from the truth.
Oh, amen to that, Coach. And you're so right that we do have to reach the kids, because the kids are being so indoctrinated with the Marxist philosophy now, the transgender agenda, you know, and all these different things that they're doing. And they're not teaching kids how to read, write, and do math. They're teaching them how to hate Trump and say the right pronoun and to question whether or not they really are a boy or a girl.
And I took all that. I read today some of the reactions from some of the students. It's depressing to understand, Sherry, that they're believing stuff that isn't true with your tax dollars and my tax dollars. They're being taught this stuff with the approval of the local church.
Wow. Well, Coach, we could go on for another couple of hours. I just love you so much, and I love talking to you, and I love your fire. As we close out for our happy hour today, would you like to lead us in a word of prayer?
I'd love to.
For everybody? Thank you.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. We thank you that your word tells us that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And Lord, we need sound minds in America today, Father. And Father, we would ask for a Holy Spirit move across this country, that you would tear down strongholds and lies and expose the wickedness that's all around us, Lord. And then that you would equip us and train us and give us the courage to stand up and speak up, Lord, that we might be your representatives to a lost and dying world. Father, we want to be like you. We want to be brave like you. We want to be able to stand up with our head above the crowd, just like you, to be your representative to those who are lost. Just pray that you would help us to do that. Open the doors that we might walk through them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And may that all, in the name of Jesus, may that be, I know, thy will be done.
Amen.
It's just awesome. That was just awesome. Well, Coach Dave, you know, it's always a pleasure to not only to see you, but to have you on my show, because now I'm all fired up.
Yeah,
all fired up from talking to you.
That's what coaches are supposed to do, isn't it? Isn't that what coaches are supposed to do?
Yeah. So that's
so. Hey, Sherry, I also tell people this: I won't do anything. I won't ask you to do anything I won't do. Right. So if I'm out there barking, I'm sorry. If I want you to go barking, I want you to know I'm out there. I'm out there doing the same thing. It's great to see you. I appreciate your friendship. We don't get to see each other very much. And I just want you to know how much I'm in your corner and praying for you, pushing for you, and praying a hedge of protection around you, Sherry.
Well, thank you so much. And as I want to say, thank you so much for being with us. I'm so grateful for having you on here again today. And as I close out this, as we close out Happy Hour again this this Tuesday night, which is guest night, on Thursday night through the month of March, Thursday night will be Happy Hour with Dr. T solo. We'll go back to doing Happy Hour with Dr. T the way we did way back in the beginning when I started this in June of 2020. And then in April, we're starting a four-part series, and I want to get the name of this exactly right because it's really important. We're starting another four-part series. If you missed the one that was in February with Dr. Justin Prock, I mean, it was over the moon in good on Bible eschatology. And we're going to do one four-part series with Brad Cummings, who's a pastor and author, and he's the publisher of the Founders Bible, thefoundersbible.com. And he's one of my closest friends in the whole wide world. And he's doing an entire series on becoming triumphant in turbulent times. Mm. And I've already talked to him somewhat about it. And it's going to be a little bit controversial. You're going to be hearing things that aren't just the straightforward pablum that you might hear from your church. So it's becoming triumphant in turbulent times through the month of April. Also in the month of April, we're having a Five Docs boot camp. So April is going to be a really important month. Five Docs boot camp registration is open. If you go to learning4you.org/5docs2024 and register for that. We'll have 5 weeks with the Five Docs and culminating with a Saturday morning webinar on solutions for mind, body, and spirit. So thank you so much, Coach Dave, for being here. Thank you for everybody for being here today. And I want to close with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. And I close all my broadcasts with it, whether it's live or pre-recorded. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. Until we meet again the next time, mark your calendars for Tuesdays and Thursdays nights for Happy Hour. Join us again, and we'll see you the next time. Have a good night, and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.